Okay, so over the next couple of minutes, what I'd love to do is Kovetz al-Yad, to pull together the sugis of Yichud in a different and perhaps more practical way. We learned Hilchas Yichud line by line, week by week, working through the sugis, more or less, I'll say, of the sugis in Kiddushin, which corresponds also, more or less, to the Seder of the Shulchan Aruch, and Ebn Ezra Simon Chaf Beis. But now I'd like to sort of take a step back. Now that we've seen so many of the individual elements, now let's take a step back and put it into an organized conceptual framework. And we'll begin with the Isra of Yichud itself. We'll talk a little bit about the Isra of Yichud. You'll remember that when we began many months ago, I mentioned to Rabbi Schechter's line about how the study of Hilchas Yichud is largely the study of Kulis, because once you formulate the Isser, and then you talk about all the ways in which Yichud will be mutter under these circumstances or those circumstances. So we do that now as well. We'll talk a little about the Isser of Yichud, and then we're going to take a look at all of the Kulis in an organized, categorized format. So we begin with the Isser of Yichud. And as we saw from the get-go, we saw the Rashba, the Pei Yeshua, and others already point out Isser Yichud on the Pei Yeshua. The Isser Yichud is mentioned in the Mishnah on Pei Yeshua. As we saw, it's also mentioned in the Sugya Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Vav, primarily the Mishnah on Pei Yeshua and Pei Yeshua and Aleph, and the Gemara that follow. But it's already, as the Gemara points out, in Pei Yeshua, it seems to already be rooted in the Psukim. According to most, if not all, Rishonim, that Drasha is a Drasha Daraisa, and there is an Isser Yichud in the Torah. But now the other case where Yichud is an Isser Derabana. So you remember from Pam and Bez that the Drasha was taking a phrase out of context, Beni Mecha Beseisa. Implication being that a son and mother can be besaced or can be alone, but if it was a man with some other woman, a woman with some other man, rather than her son, rather than his mother, two other man and woman combination, a different couple to be besaced, that would be an Isser Daraisa. So that implies that there is an Isser Yichud Daraisa if you have two conditions. Number one is besaced. I mean, that's two people. And number two, Ben Imecha, they are an erva to one another. So as we'll talk about in a few minutes, because of that particular close family relationship, the normal Isser Yichud is not in play when it's a parent and a child. But there is an Isser Yichud if it's Arayos Veseser. That's what the Gemara said at Avodah Zarah as well, that the Isser Yichud Araisa is Yichud of Arayos. We had seen some discussion. Erva is a case where the man and woman have an Isser Bia that carries with it an Isser Karsh. So we had seen that whether it's for Lav or not, we touched on a little bit, but then whether or not there's Isser Darais of Yichud by Lavin, but Arayos is one example is include the case of Ishazesh, Yichud between a married woman and a man who is not her husband. That's going to be a Yichud Daraisa. We see the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, quote for the Rambam, very important that Yichud with a Nida, a man and woman are alone, they're not related to each other, she's not married, but she is a Nida, unless they are husband and wife. The Yichud with a Nida is an Isser Daraisa. As well as, Arayos also includes various chromos. Various relatives. Okay, but then your most common scenarios of Yichud Arayos is Nida and Eishes Ish. So if you have both of those, it's Beseser plus an Erva, that is Yichud Araisa. Therefore, Yichud Rabana, Beseser means there's two people alone. That was the language of the Pasuk. Two people alone. So that's why Yichud Rabana is when you have three or more people. Or a non-erva, such as the Gemara had pointed out, Anachmas.
You have most scenarios of yichud with between a Jewish man and a Jewish woman. In general, in most cases, she's either an Eshes Ish or a Nida or both. The most common case of yichud with a non-erva is yichud with a woman who is not Jewish. So that is an Isser Drabanan, but that's not an Isser Dreisa. The other common scenario, again, of yichud Drabanan is where it's three or more people. So as we see, and we're going to get to soon, sometimes with three or more people, there is no Isser Yichud whatsoever. You have enough people and the right mix of people that there is no Isser Yichud. But in a case where there is an Isser Yichud, we'll get to those rules soon. If it's three or more people in this situation, the maximum problem is Yichud de Rabbanan. But if it's Besesek, you only have one man and one woman, and they are an erva to one another, so then you have the potential, unless you have a proper heter in place, the potential for an iser yichud daraisa. And then let's talk, before we get into the kulos, let's talk on the side here. Let's talk about the three sort of meta principles about hilchas yichud that we discussed. Sort of shape yichud in general, and then we'll stop for some questions. To clarify, yeah.
What was the second one?
It's yichud drabanan if you have three or more people. It's maximum and nisa drabanan, either mutter and nisa drabanan, or even if it's only two people, but they are not an erva to one another. And the most common example of that is where she is an achus. That's not a tashrish between a Jew and a non-Jew is a severe isser, but it doesn't carry with it karis. It's an isser, but it's not an erva. It's a different issue. I'm sorry?
What are the non-erva?
There are other isurei bia which are not isurei kares. There are isurei lavin. But here's the problem. Typically, there will also be an erva, because if she's an eshes ish, in addition to being a grushal kohen or whatever it is, she's an eshes ish, so it's an erva because of that. If she's single, most likely she's an ida. So that's what I was saying. Most cases of yichud between a Jewish man and a Jewish woman are going to be an erva because of eshes ish or nida both. Unless she's too young or she's too old. That's why the most common scenario of non-erva is an ida. Okay. Just in terms of this other angle, in terms of thinking in meta terms about yichud, three important points that we saw in the sugyas. Number one was a gemara at the top of Pei Aleph Amid Aleph. The gemara had said, Malkin ala yichud, ve'en osin ala yichud. With that Gemara, the Gemara said, we would give Malva if a man and woman, Reuven and Aliza, Vaila Ichud, so Beis Din would be authorized to give them Malkas, but not to Aser. What did that mean? So what that meant was the following. What that meant is Yichud is an Avera, they violate Avera, Daraisa Drabbanan based on the scenario, and that's it. The Yichud itself, even if it didn't lead to an act of Tashmish, the Yichud itself is an Avera. And as such, Reuven and Liza deserve an onus of Malkus for violating the Isser of Yichud rather. The Ein Osrin, we said, if Aliza is married, we would not say, oh, since Yichud occurred, we're going to assume that Aliza was Mazana with Reuven, and as such, she's an Eshes Isha Zinsa Asur Labayla. In other words, isn't that the driving force behind the Isser of Yichud? Yichud is Asur because it could lead to something worse. Yichud is Asur because it could lead to an outright act of Zus. So what you see from that Gemara, Malkin Ben Osrin, is that it's true prospectively looking, this is first at the conceptual level of this, that prospectively looking forward, since this is a situation where there's a reasonable chance, minority, but reasonable chance of it leading to znus, so it's forbidden to have yichud. It's a possibility, but it's not a probability. Most likely, we're not assuming that rove of the time an act of a situation of yichud leads to znus. No. Obviously, most situations of yichud do not result in outright znus. There's enough of a possibility that we don't allow you to engage in yichud shema, that'll come to znus. So prospectively, looking forward, we say you're not allowed to enter into that situation. Shema will lead to something worse. There's a possibility to lead to something worse. And therefore, yichud itself is aser, and for the yichud alone, you'll get malchus. But retrospectively, lachar hamasa, we're going to say, we know you violated yichud. But we're not going to say, we think you probably were mezana. No, it was a possibility. It wasn't a probability. And as a result, ain osven al yichud. To say she's an eish azish, shazinsu, even a suffix eish shazinsu, a suffix sota, that takes more than just yichud. That would take both stira, the equivalent of yichud, as well as kinoi. But mere stira, mere yichud alone, doesn't tell me probably something awry happened. It could be something, some of the times. Whatever the numbers are, 5% of the time, 2% of the time, 10% of the time, sometimes it will. There's a non-negligible miut of situations of yichud that end up in a worse place, end up in znus. So yichud is us because of the possibility of znus. That's why malka yichud, but on the other hand, ein osra yichud. It's a possibility, but not a probability. That was point number one. A clarification or a question? Okay. Number two, the second meta point that came up right afterwards on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph was the idea of mechur hadavar, or as the Gemara put, there was something is an inappropriate situation. Or as the Gemara there had said, malkin al lo tova shemua. You can get malkus. The Gemara there says for acting in a way that's generating negative rumors. That seems to correspond to what the Gemara elsewhere refers to as mechur hadavar. Something that has the appearance of impropriety. As I cannot. That was a very important point. That whenever you try to figure out whether a particular situation is mutter or usser, is the mutter as it stands, or do I need to make it more public, bring more people in order for this to be a permissible situation? You need to pass two different litmus tests. You need to pass both of them. Number one has to technically not be a violation of yichud with all the rules that we're in the midst of discussing. And number two, it also has to pass the smell test. It has to be, even if it's technically not yichud, because there's someone who's going to come, but it's a sketchy situation, mechur hadavar, it's inappropriate. So that alone is reason to walk away. In order for a situation to be acceptable, it has to both fit the technical gedarim of yichud, and also has to not run afoul of Mechur Hadavah. And then the third sort of larger point that came up is, I don't remember how much we discussed this in Shir, is the Shir's Man. And how many minutes does it have to be in order for it to be a Yavai? Given that, in the given situation with this group of people, if it's an Isser Yichud, what does that look like? Now, at one point, a couple of decades ago, the observatory, the observation deck near the top of the Empire State Building, I think it's like 84th, the 84th floor, the 86th floor, some of that, near the top, there's a floor with a beautiful view of Manhattan and beyond. At one point, there was a very popular date spot. These things come and go. Hakol Tzrich and Mazel Fields there for Tar Shavuot. At one point, that was like the place to be. And you're wondering, go to the 84th floor. It could take forever. Forget about steps. Even the elevators could take forever. So they have this super fast, I think they still do, have an express elevator. You get into the first floor, and the only other stop is in the 80s. So there were people who said, ah, so it's the Isser Yichud. If you're going to go with your date in the elevator, if no one else in the elevator, so just the two of you locked in this elevator cab for over 80 floors, isn't that an Isser Yichud? Alpi Pashas is absolutely not an Isser Yichud because there's a reason why they call it the express. It takes all of 45 seconds or so. That is not an Isser Yichud. Gemara in Sota does talk about from a Sota perspective that you have it's a couple of minutes. But Moshe Feinstein writes in terms of the Isser of Yichud, not in terms of the Dinim of Sota, he thinks it depends on context. Depends on do you already know this person? What's the nature of relationship with this person? How comfortable with each other? And conceivably, how long would it take for you to get from conversation to an act of znos? So depending on how much you know this person and how loosely these people live, that could be 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You have to be mishayar. But a reasonable amount of time already becomes an issur yichud. But a minute or two is certainly way too little. A question for clarification? Clarification?
But if you're thinking about it that way, aren't there like certain groups of people who are airless to each other and they're not like siblings? Like, for example, cousins. Like,
right.
Most cases nowadays, cousins would never think of having.
Right, correct.
So does that mean that the shear's mind is infinite?
That's a good point. That's a good question. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Koran the Rambam, the Sif Aleph, the Yichud applies afilu yalda afilu zakeno. Reb Chaim Kanievsky in his Kiryas Melech, where he gives Mar Makomos in Chazal for Rambams that there are classical Nosakim did not. I think he points out there's a Bracious Rabbah that in the beginning of Parashat Vayera that indicates that Avraham Avinu was worried about a potential Yichud between Yishmael and Sarah. And Sarah was definitely at that point a Zakena, yet it still is an Isser of Yichud. So whether that's the Makar or not, the Rambam Shalom do say Beferish that there isn't a Yichud Daraisa. Even if there's a vast age gap, which means it would be unlikely that people would be that this would lead to znus. But were it to, how long would it take? I think that's the what's the shortest that one could imagine, even if it's unlikely. We're about to turn our attention. We're about to pivot to all the heterim of yichud. And that's going to speak to situations where there's a well-defined factor. We say, based on that factor, we say there is no Isra Yichud in this context. But if you don't have a well-defined factor, there will be an Isra Yichud, but you have to imagine what's the shortest amount of time that it conceivably could take. And again, going back to the point of Malki Vein Osrin, Yichud is not only Osrin in situations where it's very, very likely to lead to Znos. There is a threshold. I don't know what that threshold is. 2%, 5%, 3%, whatever it is, there is a relatively low p-value. If you pass that, I think that's a way of thinking about it quantitatively, they pass that level of miut, so we say, there's not enough of a miut, even though it seems improbable, there's enough of a miut that there isn't a Isser Yichud. In thinking about the kulos of Yichud, so we'll talk about 8 or 9 of them, but I want to organize them into 3 categories. Category number 1 is sometimes it's someone with whom I have no issue. Category number 1. We'll talk about a couple of kulas, 2 in particular. Where with this type of person, I have no isyich with this type of person. We'll break it down a little bit. And then category number 2 is shomer. People who I could have isyich with this person, but if I add, let's put it like this. Add a shomer. The second set of kulos are people I can add to a situation, and their presence acts as a shmira to knock out the Isra Yichud. And then the third is going to be situations. Third category, the third class of Heterim are situations in which there's no Isra Yichud. So we talk about people with whom I have no Isra of Yichud. Break it down a little more, but for starters, we can talk about Krova Sel. She's related to him, or he's related to her. Not all relatives, but we're going to talk about, let's lay out a couple of relatives with whom there's no receiver. That's number 1. And number 2 is someone with whom I have no receiver, but not because she and I relate to each other, but because she's an Isha. She's a married woman and her husband is in town. So let's unpack that a little bit.
Krova Sel.
So number 1, going back to where we started before, one is your wife. Of course not a Yichud on my wife.
No. Even Ishto Nida. Said before that there is Shulchan Aruch quotes in the Rambam that there is a nisa yichud daraisa between a man and a woman if she is a nida, but between a husband and wife, and the Rosh discusses this, husband and wife, because we're related to each other and because it's a temporary iser, but it's within the context of hetter. So ishto nida, there is no nisa yichud. Number two is the source of this all. The source of this all is, you remember, Ben Inecha Bezeser, there is no Isser Yichud with Imo or Bito, between mother and son, between father and daughter. And then the Bach had also added, the same is true, Ziknaso or Nechdaso, between a grandmother and grandson, or between a grandfather and a granddaughter, or great-greats, whatever it is, between ancestor and descendant, there is no Isser Yichud. Well, it's A. B. A. 1A, if you like, is Ishto Nida. 1B is ancestor, descendant, Imo, Bito, Dignasa, Nechtaso. And finally, C was already a little bit more questionable, and that was Achoso. Brothers and sisters, you remember that the Mishnah on Pei Amid Beis mentions father, daughter, and mother, son. The Mishnah does not say anything about siblings. The Gemara, blot later in Pei Aleph Amid Beis, seems to present it as a machlokas. There are Amora, Rav Yehuda Rav Asi, who talk about a heter of achoso. So you remember, number one, that they seem to be machlokas of Rishonim. Right, it appears to be machlokas of Rambam and Rosh. Very good. The Machaber, the Shulchan Aruch seems to quote the Rambam straight. Rambam doesn't say that Achosa was Aser, but has a short list of cases where it's Mutter, and sisters are not on the list. The Rambam appears to imply that he does not accept the Shulchan Aruch, appears to imply they don't accept the Heter Achosa, but the Rosh and the notes that came on Shulchan Aruch say Achosa is Mutter. It's certainly the Ashkenazi Psak. What the Sephardi Psak is maybe a little bit up in the air. I think most Sephardim also assume the halacha, like the Rush, that Achosa is Mutter. Okay, so that's one question. There is a Machlokas HaRishon. The other point is the Gemara itself, remember, introducing the Shita HaMekila, on Pei Aleph Amid Beis, Achosa is Mutter, Dira, versus Yichud. Right, the Gemara said that between mother and son, between grandfather and granddaughter and so forth, it even at the heter Yichud. A single mother living alone with her one and only son, they could have that arrangement for 10 years with no problem whatsoever. It could be long term is fine. Imo or Bito, those could be long-term situations without any concern. But between Ach v'Achos, it's only temporary Dira, but not permanent Yichud. What the definition of temporary Dira is, we mentioned the Machlokas Haposkim, is there a particular number? Is it 3 days? Is it 30 days? More? Less? And then some Achronim say that it's not a particular number, it's just contextually defined. It depends if you live down the block. So how long would a guest stay? So if you're coming from down the block, you would come for a night or two, 3 nights. If you're coming from across the country, you might come for a week. If you're coming from across the world, you're coming from America to Australia or vice versa, it is totally typical when you actually hop on a plane and fly to Australia or vice versa, when people come to stay as a guest at a friend from New York to Melbourne, from Sydney to Chicago, it's very common that people come for a couple of weeks. From Cape Town to Hollywood, yeah. If you're traveling across the world, guests will come for several weeks because this is not a trip that you're making on a regular basis. However long a non-family guest would stay, so that's many posts consume, that's called Dira. But once you're overstaying that sort of guestish welcome, that's already... I'm sorry, I reversed the language. That's not Yichud, that's Dira. Yichud is Mutter, so I said it backwards. Yichud is Mutter, but Dira is also. That's the Gemara's language. To move in is a problem. But just come as a temporary guest, that's okay. So again, some posts can say Yichud means 3 days or 30 days. I say, no, Yichud means, given context, how long would you be as a guest? So once again, We're looking at the first category, the Terim, the people who do have notice of Yichud, and the first one that lists is Kerov Asof. She is related to me. Either Reuven and Aliza have notice of Yichud because they're married, even if she's neither has notice of Yichud, or because Reuven is Aliza's father or son or grandfather or grandson, or because Reuven is our sisters. So according to certainly Ashkenaz and Paskin, that temporary yichud between brother, sister, and mother, although permanent dira is not. So that's heter number one is krova. So questions of clarification.
What about step-siblings and adoption?
So that we said that is a complicated question. And it's a machlokas ha poskim in the previous generation, the Lubavitch Rebbe and others. I'm sorry. Yeah, Lubavitch Rebbe was very machmer. He assumed there has to be mamish a blood relative, and many others assume that particularly if you grew up, there are different scenarios. We're talking about it, someone who is adopted or blended family, where parents remarry, and now their children from previous marriages are becoming one family. So that's the dynamic is very different if the kids, when that happened, the kids were very little versus the kids were teenagers. So I don't think anyone is makel when the kids are teenagers to say, oh, brother and sister. I don't think, I could be wrong. When kids are younger, and the question is what line do you draw? When kids are younger, so then there are post-war makel. When these shayas come up, they're obviously very, very fraught. And obviously these shayas come up in situations where there was already a lot of angst beforehand. So these shayas, when those shayas come up, of blended families or of adoption and so on and so forth, it has to be, these shayas have to be worked out with the great, great poskim. But there is some discussion on that. There is some discussion on how that should play out. Let's talk about now Isha, kula number two. Kula number one was he and she are related in particular ways. Kula number two is that he and she, Reuven and Aliza, might have no yichud with each other, not because Reuven and Aliza are related to each other, but because Aliza is a married woman who is Baila Be'ir. She's a married woman. Married woman, that makes it more problematic. Just the fact that she's married makes her Hernesha's ish, and therefore that ups the problem. Now it's yichud arayos. But if she's a married woman whose husband is in town, so Baila Be'ir, the Gemara, you remember that's moving on to the middle of Pei Aleph, Amud Aleph in Kiddushin. And this was Si'if Ches in the Shulchan Aruch. Baila Be'ir, Rabbi had said, Baila Be'ir in Choshishim Meshom Yichud. And you remember that there were three points that came up with that. That we should bear in mind. One, two, three. Number one was Machlokas Rashi Tosos. Rashi had said, Baila Be'ir doesn't really make it mutter. It just means that there's no Odesh. If you violate Yichud, the Isha Shabbal Be'ir, there's no Malkus. And Tosis said, I don't think that's what the Gemara sounds like at all. The Gemara sounds like it's a real heter. And that does seem to be the preponderance of Poskim. Definitely assume like Tosos. Baal Be'ir is actually a heter. But then the question is, the next point is that the... Here's Rashi and the Rambam discuss what's the nature of that heter. Why does we have any, why is Baal Be'ir a matir? Rashi has a very narrow understanding of what Baal Be'ir is. The Rambam seems to have a much broader understanding. Remember, Rashi had said, "Oh, Baal Be'ir is matir or reduces the Yisr because mistafni baal hashta asi." Because you worry, practically, the husband may pop in at any moment. That's very limited, as we said, as opposed to point out many poskims of Moshe Feinstein and others. Chavetz Chaim say, well, that means it's only if there's a real chance that the husband can pop in at any moment. But if he's by ear, but the ear is enormous because the ear is Manhattan and there's a lot of traffic and the trains are slow, and yes, he's by ear, but it would take him an hour to show up, or she knows that he just stepped into an important meeting or a court appearance, and there's no way that he's popping into the house anytime soon. Or she's not at home. She's somewhere else, and she doesn't expect him to. She's at work, let's say, or she's at some appointment, or she's shopping, or she's in some sort of consultation, and there's no expectation the husband's going to pop in, or the husband may not even know where she is. So in all those cases, those who follow Rashi's approach say, well, then there's no heter of Baal HaBe'ir. Baal HaBe'ir is limited to just a case where there's a real chance of the husband popping in. But the Rambam says no. And the Chazanish and the Chida and others seem to very vigorously adopt the approach of the Rambam. I think that's how we usually assume the halacha, that Baal HaBe'ir, if there's a real chance of someone walking in, forget about a husband, that we'll get to in, maybe not today, in the one of the later kulas in category 3, the kula of Pesach Pasuach, there's a chance that someone's actually going to pop in, that can be mutter for even if someone else is going to pop in. Baal HaBe'ir, the Rambam says, even the husband is actually going to pop in, Rambam had said, and this is the language Shulchan Aruch quoted, which made it sound a lot like that's how we paskin, Emas Baal HaAleha, more of a generalized sense, there's an inhibition, her husband's nearby, her husband's in proximity, so that's an inhibiting factor, and that sort of tamps down the concern of Yichud. So that doesn't necessarily have to do with, is there a real chance the husband's going to walk through that door right now? Maybe not. He may not even know where she is. Or she knows that he's on the other side of town, it's a 45-minute drive. He's called and said there's a lot of traffic. He's called and said he's going into an important meeting. She knows that he's not actually practically going to walk through the door. It doesn't matter. His proximity is psychologically inhibiting. Amos Baila Aleh. That was the position of Rambam with all those nafkimis. You'll also remember the Gemara had an additional limitation there, Libo Gasba. And if Libo Gasba was that if he and she are comfortable with one another from beforehand, a cousin, me and my married cousin, and she's Baila Be'ir, or a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law, or a stamazai, you know, you're not family, but you're comfortable, you're familiar, you grew up together, you know each other from beforehand well, there's a comfort and familiarity, so that undoes the heter of Baal HaBe'ir, which you point out, according to the Rashi's, the word the husband actually going to walk in the door, the Chafetz Chaim has a hard time explaining what does it matter whether we're hamish with each other or not, is it really concerned the husband's going to walk in the door, that seems like that's a pretty definitive heter. You say that the Rambam, that Baal HaBe'ir is just because of a general sense of it's inhibiting, so then we understand. Now then, Libo Gaspa is disinhibiting, so that's going to sort of neutralize the heter of Baal HaBe'ir. One second. We're going to, maybe we'll pick up, give me another 30 to 90 seconds to wrap things up, and then we can pick up this tomorrow if anyone wants to. But I want to just wrap up with the following structure. We'll fill in the blanks tomorrow. But as you see, there are a number of kulas. We've completed both the basics of Yichud, the foundation, and the first of the three categories, first three classes of Heter Yichud. We'll fill in, that was one and two, was Krovasa and Baal HaBe'ir are the category one, people who have nursed Yichud. We'll get tomorrow, Rish Hashem, it was interesting continuing, to the kulas 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 are cases where you can add a Shomer. And then there are kulas 8 and 9, are very, very relevant, cases where there's no siyuchim just because of the situation. But I want to add one last nakuda, which is, we'll get to tomorrow, adding a shomer. So kula 3, the first type of adding a shomer is an ish kasher. We'll add more tomorrow. Kula 4 is an isha, a mutaras. Reuven and Elizar alone, that's a problem with Yichud. If we add Yocheved, Yocheved can serve as a Shomeres if Reuven and Yocheved have no Isser Yichud to one another. Meaning, this is where 1 and 2 fit in.
this Isha Mutaras Lav Yichud means either she's Mutaras Lav because Yocheved and Ruvain are fit into category one, they relate to each other, or because Yocheved is Baal Be'ir. And once Ruvain no Isser Yichud Yocheved, because she's Baal Be'ir, Ruvain Yocheved Aliza is also Mutar, because once I have no Isser Yichud Yocheved, she serves as a Baal Shomeres, even vis-a-vis the other woman, even vis-a-vis Aliza. We had mentioned last time that was something of Machlokas, but we do assume the halacha that works, and we'll fill in the rest of the details in Mirtz Hashem. If guys are interested, we can do this again tomorrow and put all the pieces together. I'm glad to stick around for questions.
If people gossip, what does that mean that